On a Saturday afternoon, Buckley's Homestead Supply Store is as busy as a barnyard at feeding time. The store is packed with people taking classes on fruit tree care and chicken disease prevention. A steady stream of customers arrives to stock up on homesteading essentials.
Chicken feed, organic chicken feed, and canning jars, and soap supplies.
Rachel Gutierrez joined the urban homesteading movement 5 years ago. Her first step was to rip out her lawn and plant all varieties of vegetables. But she says her water bill grew a lot faster than her plants.
It don't even make sense to try and grow tomatoes outside after trying it. It doesn't make any sense. So like out in the front yard, we put hardy things like turnips and things that don't really need a lot of water. And then in the greenhouse, the tomatoes and the eggplants and things.
Colorado Springs Utilities lead water conservation specialist Scott Winter acknowledges conditions here aren't ideal for growing food.
It could be argued that it's maybe less sustainable in some ways to grow it here because of our water situation, but you can make that argument about many areas. And there certainly are conflicts.
That means conservation-minded urban homesteaders can sometimes find their values and practices at odds. I asked local health and gardening counselor Michelle Mukaitis if a city farmer should view her backyard garden as an environmentally sound choice.
It's a good step in the next direction. So you have your lawn and you get rid of your lawn and you start using that water to water something that at least you can live off of. But the most environmentally sensitive thing she could do is probably move somewhere that has more water. If we're going to stay here, we have to figure out how to do it right.
These are little spinaches. These little guys right there poking their heads. And that's all the plastic is doing, is getting the soil up to about 55 degrees so it's warm enough to germinate the seed.
Every available inch of Adam Atencio's yard in downtown Colorado Springs is given over to growing food for himself and his wife.
I'll probably take about 3 to 4 months of all my meals out of here, at least. So I'm pretty fanatical, so once this lettuce grows, every day is a different salad.
He says if he's careful, his monthly utility bill, including electric and water, doesn't ever break $120. He's frugal, though, watering his garden selectively and only using his clothes dryer on cold nights so he can vent necessary hot air into his greenhouse. For Atencio, the main cost of growing so much food in Colorado's extreme conditions is vigilance.
Always be outside, always watching, ready for every turn of the weather, you know. So just always seeing what the plant's in, the atmosphere that the plant's in, that's where you really find all those things you're missing. You know, you see that one dry plant that you forgot about.
He already has 2,000 seedlings started in the greenhouse this season, but has learned to be hard-nosed about what exactly he grows. That's advice Michelle Mukaitis gives all local gardeners.
You should look into the type of vegetables that you're growing and find the things that grow well in this region, incorporating mulch on top of whatever you're growing. And then I would also say plan what you're planting together, planting things that have similar water requirements.
Some local backyard farmers take sustainable gardening a step further. Christine Faith's backyard farm features chickens, ducks, bees, fruit trees, raised garden beds, and in a greenhouse, something called an aquaponic system.
And there's the fish.
I'm gonna ask you where the fish are.
Yeah, they're in the ground. They're hungry.
In Faith's aquaponic system, water from a fish tank is pumped up to a grow bed filled with clay pebbles, which keeps plant roots moist. When the bed is flooded to a certain level, it drains cleansed water back down to the fish. So an aquaponic system cultivates edible or decorative fish and grows vegetables quickly.
A couple of kale plants, some lovage, 2 Swiss chard.
And the water savings is high.
It's substantial over putting it in the dirt, say at least 70%.
But it's not necessarily cheap or simple. Faith says she invested $4,000 in her greenhouse and aquaponic system, implemented it with the help of her engineer husband, and sustains it with a pump, heater, and a steady diet of mineral supplements.
I went into it believing a lot of the hype that it was the silver bullet, and then got into it and discovered that it has its own dependencies and drawbacks. It's like a high-end sports car, you know. When it's on, it's on, but it breaks down, and you gotta get it back online.
Faith also uses the less technical water-saving strategy of building swales into her backyard farm. Swales are water-harvesting ditches built on the contour of a landscape.
We send the water, we cut it high, we send it, and we've meandered it along the way, and so we do actually send some of this water to fruit trees and other places.
Even with the swales, Faith is careful to cultivate resilient varieties, and she's mindful of how a plant fits into the entire ecosystem of her backyard farm.
That's, I guess, my biggest caution, is that we honor the carrying capacity of the place where we live. In a semi-arid region, that carrying capacity is greatly reduced.
For all our environmental challenges, Colorado Springs utility Scott Winter recommends urban farming with a healthy dose of realism.
It has many, many benefits for citizens in Colorado Springs or other areas, but it is difficult as well. And I think people don't necessarily realize that until they try it.
When novice urban farmers understand what they're up against, they're less likely to burn out. It also helps to remember that trial and error simply go with the territory in farming, no matter where food is grown. And as Michelle Mukaitis points out, sometimes failure brings happy accidents.
You might kill something at the right time and it'll flop over and the seeds will drop, and the next year you'll have more than you know what to do with of that particular thing, which is what I have of tomatillos in my yard.
For KRCC News, I'm Michelle Mercer.